The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. The Step 2 sides enter the FA Trophy as it hits round 2, and wearing his at FA Trophy fact hat, Philinex gives us the insight, the knowledge, and all the things we need to know about the 40 ties taking place this weekend. One of those in the trophy with an away tie at a club a level higher, a Macclesfield. The informed team in the non-league pyramid with a current 16-game unbeaten run in the league. And the now gaffer, Robbie Savage, explains he doesn't see his side going into the game as underdogs. Promotion is the main priority, but a club formed from the ashes of a former two-time winner of the competition and who made last term's semi-finals, he knows how important an FA Trophy run could be and what it means for those so fundamental to the club. Matt Badcock helps round up the week's news at the end of the show. There's more bizarre results, a goal-scoring legend, and the ever-spinning managerial merry-go-round. Another bumper show, so sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Now, last week I think I likened him to Donald Trump, or certainly a Donald Trump impersonator. So this week, when the Donald has been making his key cabinet appointments, it's time to find out what Philinex has in his trophy locker. He is the man with the facts, the guy with the stats, and, he just excels at Excel. So he's wearing his at FA Trophy Facts hat this week. It is a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show at FA Trophy Facts, Mr. Philinex. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Tim. Hi, how are you doing?
Well, I'm having to spend more time watching Only Connect so I can get some more intros lined up. But
Good idea.
Yeah. We're at round two of the FA Trophy. 80 clubs, the 48 from Step 2 coming in, and 32 yes. Survivors. Some have come a long way just to reach this round, though. We had that bonus preliminary round before the first, second and third qualifying, but I don't think yes. we've got any survivors from those opening games in this season's competition.
No, that's right. There's only, 28 clubs took part in that preliminary round, and unfortunately the last three of them fell by the wayside in the first round. So they had a good run, but you're right, there are no more from that preliminary round, but there are still 8 clubs left from Step 4, so there's still some representation of that level of the competition.
Yeah, we had a bit of a clear out, didn't we, round one? There were a number of cup sets and sort of clubs that probably thought they would be going a lot further, but looking at the results this weekend rather than being part of them, as you say, 8 Step 4 clubs remaining, keeping those dreams alive. 2 of them drawn at home are also part of the elite club of clubs looking to reach the last 64 of this competition for the first time. We love a bit of history.
Yeah, that's right. We have to talk about the last 64 because it's a difficult way of comparing and contrasting past trophy tournaments where this year's third round is the equivalent of old competition's first round. So we use the term last 64 to clarify how far clubs have got. And you're right, the Coleshill Town and Hadley FC both drawn at home. Against Biggleswade Town and AFC Telford United are both looking to try and make it to the last 64 for the very first time, along with 12 other clubs who are in the same position.
And they're sort of
ties that grabbed my attention for potential cup sets, of course. The only other Step 4 side, I believe, at home, also looks like that could be a cup set at Yanktown.
Yes, they're going well, aren't they, Yanktown this season? So they'll fancy their chances at home. It's two-step gap between them and Hampton and Richmond, but they'll see that as a big opportunity to cause a bit of a shock. The other clubs in Step 4 who are drawn against Step 2 opposition have actually been drawn away from home, so their task is much greater. You've got Bentwood Town, Sporting Kelsa and Felixstowe Walton, who all trying to get through to the last 64, but with a very difficult task of travelling to a Step 2 club.
A very difficult task, of course, sir. But the first two, Brentford Town and Sporting Kelsa, already featured on the Non-League Football Show this year in this competition. And Felixstowe and Walter United obviously also be hoping to show their cup set ability this season. There are plenty of clubs already setting a record or equaling their best run in the competition too. One tie that leaps out being that one that guarantees that there's going to be a newbie in the next round.
Yeah, it's always good to spot where there's definitely going to be history made, a tie. And we've got one, as you said, this season. Stockton Town host Scarborough Athletic. So Stockton Town had only ever got as far as the second qualifying round in their few campaigns that they had to date. Scarborough Athletic have appeared in the second round before, but the winner of that tie will go through to the last 64 for the very first time.
Yeah, and we still haven't got, obviously, the big boys into the competition yet from the National League, but there's plenty of clubs, you know, newbie to the to this round even beyond. But there's also some very experienced trophy hunters in this weekend's batch. Three former winners taking part this weekend.
Yeah, three former winners, four former finalists as well. We've got Hornchurch, who are in this round, haven't made the final recently. They've got an away trip to Enfield Town, who are looking to make the last 64 for the first time. And you've also got Blackley Town, who play on Sunday, actually, the only game on Sunday. They're travelling to Hashtag United, who are at this stage of the competition for the very first time. So they'll be hoping to continue their current record run in the competition.
And the changes in the rounds and the changes in the setup of competition, sort of as you say, made it a little bit more difficult, I'd imagine, for you, for your stats. we have got a number of repeats of this game formerly taking part in this competition, and
yes,
we love a bit of a grudge. So tell us more about some of those.
Well, we've got Chasetown. They travelled to Alfchurch, having beaten them just 3 years ago. So Alfchurch will be looking to try to get a quick revenge there. We also had a game happen last season that's happening again this year. So Curzon Aston lost to Macclesfield in the last 64 last season. So they've got a second chance now to try and beat them this time around. But I think the one who's waited the longest is Western Supermare. It's 42 years since they played Weymouth in the FA Trophy, and they lost 1-0 in a replay when they did so in their last meeting. So, you know, whether there's anyone around to remember that game or those two games that they played back in the 80s, we'll wait and see for those from the club themselves.
Yeah, I guess that's a really, really long wait in the W Barker tie. talking of W's as well, Worksop Town, they've got to fancy their chances this weekend, haven't they?
Yeah, that's true. Yes, they're up against Radcliffe for the fourth time in the FA Trophy history, and they've won through on all three previous times, although they are away from home this time. They have got through via two draws in past meetings. Of course, we can't get draws this time around, so if it does go to a draw at the end of the day, it'll be straight to penalties, so that'll increase Radcliffe's chance, I guess, of getting through if he gets to that stage. But yeah, they'll be keen to try and get one over on him at last.
And another one I spotted. I've not seen it, but surely there can't be too many people that haven't seen Chorley against Marine in this competition.
Yeah, they seem to come up quite regularly together. This is the sixth time they've been drawn together. It's 7 years since they last met. I think Chorley won the first three times that they They met, and then Marina won the last two, so they'll be on track to try and equalise against Chorley in trophy meetings, I guess.
And I know I get feedback from managers and coaches and players and chairmen and to some of these stats that you've come up with and how they use them in their team talks. And stuff. do you ever get a thank you from a manager that's caused a cup set because of a little stat that he put up on his message board before the game?
I'm not sure I've had a thank you, but I am aware that sometimes that clubs have seen that piece of news that they didn't know about is something they can use as a motivator in a dressing room. But whether or not it's ever made the difference, I'm not 100% sure.
And it's not going to be your stat that's going to make the difference, I guess, in one of the ties that caught my attention, because it's very new in the memory. We're not talking 42 years of that Western Supermare Weymouth game. We're talking about the Slough Town Chatham Town game. Is this their first meeting, I believe, in the FA Trophy? But they already met in the FA Cup this season in September. I mean, have you got any knowledge of maybe this ever happening before in FA Cup competitions?
It happens quite frequently. It's surprising, actually. I guess that's to do with regionalisation that will cause that to happen. I remember a couple of years ago, the very first game in both the FA Cup and the FA Vars was Redcar Athletic versus CM Red Star. So both competitions started on a Friday night with the same actual match and I think with the same result. So yeah, it's not uncommon.
And that's one of those where you have to double-check your records before you go ploughing in, just to make sure that you haven't got the wrong sheet open. Or
yeah, that's right. You've got the right competition.
And another one that caught my eye. We mentioned the Barker ties. The lady, of course, who they're named after, Caroline Barker, formerly of this parish, will be excited beyond belief, I'm sure, that her beloved Chelmsford City are at the heart of, well, two of your best stats of the round.
Yeah, so she does love my bit quirky stats. Don't know whether she follows the trophy as much as the cup, but anyway, she'll definitely be following Chelmsford City in the competition. And yeah, a couple of stats about them. They're one of 23 clubs that have participated in all 56 FA Trophy seasons. So they're in a small group of teams there, but it's not that rare. But what is rare is that they're facing their very first club that begins with the letter P in Peterborough Sports. So they've played 127 FA Trophy matches across all of the seasons that the competition's been running, and this is the first time they've faced a team beginning with the letter P.
I could come up with some obscene joke about that, but I won't. You'll be paying attention, I'm sure, across all of the fixtures. But 40 to choose from. Are you off to any locations this weekend, Phil?
Yeah, I am planning to attend the Alf Church Chasedown tie that I talked about earlier to see if Alf Church can get their own back and avenge that defeat from 3 years ago.
Exciting tie, I believe. New manager maybe in place there, Alf Church as well, for that one, possibly. I know they've put the request out there. Phil, before I let you go, I suppose I should get you to remind everybody where they can find out more on all your stats on FA Trophy. It's slightly different from your Vars and yes. FA Cup, so let them know.
Yeah, so yeah, do follow me on Twitter /X if you're not one of the people leaving. You can follow me on @ FA Trophy Facts, and there's only a small number of people following that account at the moment, so there's many more following the FA Cup and FA Vars ones. So do have a look at the FA Trophy Facts account. You'll see there facts and stats for all 40 of these second round ties. So if your club's involved or you're just interested in that kind of information, do have a scan through my recent Twitter feed and check out what I see as the notable stats for every tie.
Phil Innes, it's always a pleasure. Always entertaining and always insightful. Thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Speak to you soon.
Thank you, Tim. Cheers.
Let's stick then with the FA Trophy and return to a club we've not featured for a while, but who, pound for pound, I guess, are probably the informed team in the non-league world. The highest ranked unbeaten side in the pyramid, 16 league games without defeat in the league at step 3 in the Northern Premier League. But it's the FA Trophy this weekend and a tough trip to opposition higher. Let's find out how preparations are going. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show manager at Macclesfield FC, Mr. Robbie Savage. Welcome back.
Thank you. How are you?
Good, good, good. I'm enjoying watching you enjoying football.
Oh, listen, I love football. I'm addicted to football. Always will, always have been, through the highs, through the lows, the roller coasters. And it's a group of lads I'm love working with. They're embracing the challenge which we have every single week, because we all know when everybody plays Mac, it's like an FA Cup final. It's an occasion. And for their mentality to, you know, go on this run of 16 games unbeaten in the league is a credit to them. All myself, Peter Band and John McMahon to do is give them information. If they can take it on board and retain it and deliver it, which they're doing, it makes us happy.
And 13 points clear at the top of the table. Of course, it's nice to have a cushion, but does that then come with added pressure as well?
No. We want to win every game, and we want to break records this year. First and foremost, we want to win the league, because we know how tough this league is. It's such a tough league to get out. I'm sure yourself on the non-league show know how long it took South Shields to get out. Every game's difficult. Anybody can beat anybody in this league on any given day. So we've got to make sure that we're ruthless, relentless in our goal of winning the league, because as we found out last year, we were the second best team in the league, but Marine beat us in the playoff final, deservedly so, because in a one-off game, anything can happen. So we've got to be relentless in our goal to win the league. And that's the first and foremost objective. That's what the objective was before the start of the season. And that continues.
So where does this weekend fit in then? Because a trip to Curzon Ashton, who themselves are having a great season, a level above, what are they, third currently in that level up there. For once, you're underdogs as well. I mean, it must be a weird one this weekend, sort of interrupting your league form, but also you almost the boots on the other foot.
Yeah, I don't see us as underdogs at all. The mentality and the players we have, I believe it's a National League side. That's what I really believe. And I think we've shown that against Tamworth. You know, we should have gone 2-0 up. We had created numerous chances, dominated possession. On another day, we win the game. But they're so effective. And I was delighted when they drew Huddersfield, home draw, beat Huddersfield. Inevitably, they scored 4 goals, we scored 2. That's why they went through. And that was the only stat that counted. So, you know, people will see us as underdogs at Curzon because of they are absolutely flying. They're doing brilliantly well. Fantastic playing surface. The win against Marine midweek in a 4-3-3 was brilliant, and I admire what they're doing. You know, the manager's doing a great job, are as the players, but I don't see us going to any single game whilst I'm head coach as underdogs. Whether we play Tamworth away, whether we play Scunthorpe, whether we play the top of the National League, I see us as favourites going to any game, home and away. That's the belief I've got in this group, and that's the group was made to win the league above. Mm. You know, that's the group we've got. The recruitment process didn't change, and that's shown in our league results. Listen, we go there, we give Curzon massive respect. We beat them there last year, but they're much better now. But so are we. People make Curzon favourites because of the league they're in, and they're a very, very good side. But I'm not going to say to our lads, you know, you're the underdogs. I got the belief that we can go there and win. I got the belief we can go to any National League side and win. That's the belief I have in this group.
And that's the mindset of winners as well. And I have to remind people, of course, that despite everything, where you are, where you're aiming for, how everything's going, this is a Phoenix club built from the ashes of Macclesfield Town. And it was only 4 years ago that the stadium and all the available assets of town were purchased by Rob Smethurst and bringing you in and starting a new club. To get to where you are now, that's just mad.
It is, but, you know, we're disappointed we're not in the National League North already. Listen, we had it, my demands on the group, my demands on myself are huge. The expectation's huge. And it was such a disappointing finish to a season. Listen, the lads were magnificent last season, but as I've said, on a one-off game, Marine were better, deserved to go up. On the season, Radcliffe were the best team, deserved to go up. So this is not me speaking to you, you know, with a sob story. This is us being, truth, telling the truth. And I'm an honest head coach. And yes, we've done great, but we were the second best team in the league last year, but we knew before the start of the season only one goes up and it's the playoffs. And that's why we cannot legislate for anything other than winning the league. If it's by a point, if it's by 15 points, if it's with records, that's the goal. And it's a nice break from the league against Curzon. And I don't want people listening to this thinking, saying, oh, there's the team talk done for Curzon. We give them massive respect. They're a good side. And on the day, they can beat us. No question about it. But do I see us as underdogs? No, I don't. I see us as going there with a whatever team we play. And I'm sure you'll come on to the question. Whatever team we play, I believe the group can win the game.
And I said, yeah, the situation of the club, mad, but Robbie Savage as head coach of the club, you know, after various others in the role, you took on the mantle in the summer. Is there a manager in your own playing career that can honestly say that Robbie Savage was ever going to be a football coach?
I didn't think that either. I didn't think that. You know, I'm currently on the way to Cardiff to do my finish my B licence off. I've got that tomorrow. That'll be then I start my A. So, you know, I'm gaining knowledge off that. I'm gaining knowledge off my coaches. I've got a pro licence coach working with me. So I'm learning every single day as a head coach. And I'll make mistakes. I'll make lots of mistakes. But as it stands now, I think what I'm learning, it's about managing players, getting the best out of players. You know, how do you manage 21 starters into 11? Because that's what we've got. That group has got 21 starters, and the 10 that are left out of the starting 11 any match day could all get in any other side in this league. There's no doubt, and league above. I've got no doubt in my mind. And the amount of managers and CEOs from other clubs who have contacted me from leagues above to say, have you got any players? That goes to show how good the group is. So I'm under no illusion that a lot of people want us to fail, want me to fail. And that's fuel to my fire. Mm. It drives me every day. I've got a picture in my office, Marine celebrating on our pitch after when the final whistle went with their fans, deservedly so. And I keep saying that because they did deserve it. But that fuels me. It should fuel our players to not let that happen again and continue this relentless march to try and win the title and try and win it as quickly as we can. It's not over. Nothing's won in November, as you know. We got Mickle over away on Tuesday and then Blythe Barnes at home Saturday after a difficult game against Curzon. And that's what I'm saying, that to manage a group and manage a squad, and I've been a player where maybe I didn't play as often as I would have liked, but I kept turning up to train and I kept smiling. It was hard. So I want to reward people at the weekend who are those players who might think I've not really featured as often as I like because of the form of the team and beating the league. And when I take my opportunity, I have to take it. Like when we played Ashton, I made several changes in that game and we won 7-1. And I'll be making change at the weekend. And that's not me taking this competition lightly, because it's a competition I honestly believe we can win. We got to the semi-final last year against Gateshead away, and if it would have been a two-legged affair, I really thought with that away goal we would have brought them back to the leasing.com and gone through. Listen, but that never happened, so that's hypothetical. What I'll say now is the group of players I select on Saturday, and there will be changes to the league starting 11, because I want to reward people who players who have given everything, who have smiled, who get on with it, who are there to support the lads start on a regular basis. And it just helps the group stick together. And that's what we've got in that changing room, is we've got a great camaraderie, a great togetherness. Everybody says about the budget, we know that. You know, and what comes with big budgets, as you say, is expectancy. And we're happy to embrace that. We're happy that every time a Macclesfield team, whether it's the under sevens, under eights to the first team, put on that shirt, everybody wants to beat them. And that's what we deal with and that's what we thrive on.
Yeah, budgets are, you know, people can talk about it as much as they like, but it's like having a perfect hand in poker. If you don't know how to play it, you're still not going to win, are you?
Well, what you've got at these levels, you've got a Ferrari, and it's about, you know, having somebody who can drive that Ferrari on a regular basis and do the best with it. You know, it's no point having a Ferrari if you're going to drive it, you know, and you come back and you want to change the stereo, you want to change the tyres, you want to change the seats, you want to change the steering, you want to change everything. You've got a Ferrari, just manage it. And we've built a Ferrari at this level, no question about it, because you, listen, you're more educated in non-league than me. But when you've got lads like Danny Elliott, who's on a who scored in 10 consecutive games. You know, you're pairing him with Dan, Damani Mellor. You've got John Rooney. You've got Danny Whitehead. You've got Justin Johnson. You've got Neil Kenji. You've got Dawson Mendy. You've just brought in Sean Ertoluku from Barrow. You've got Dante Gabadon. You know, I can go through every single player in our squad. You know, we've just got young James Edmondson from Blackburn, who's, I must say, has got a real future in the game, to the point where, you know, we're trying to keep him for the season because he loves it. He loves, you know, playing senior football in front of a crowd, and it's great for the youngsters. So, again, I'm under no illusion that we have to win the league. And is Saturday a game when people see the team thinking, well, they've taken that lightly? No, we're not, because every person that puts on that Macclesfield shirt, I believe, is good enough to win a game of football.
Yeah, and being in the dugout, it sounds like it's added an extra dimension to you. You've reeled off names there, like they're your mates, they're your family, because you said about that camaraderie that's there. Does that then make it more difficult for you? Because you do, these lads mean so much to you, but you've also got to be in charge of them.
Yeah, they do, and I think what I try and do is just take my experiences off as a captain of four Premier League teams, off my managers, and think, how would I want to be treated myself now? And I've obviously, my son Charlie plays for Reading and he's in the Wales squad. And I try and treat every player like I was managing my son. What would I want the best for my son? When my son, you know, goes with Wales or with Reading, how would I want him to be treated? So I always bring the players in and I always think of my two sons and think, how would I treat them? And that's what I try and do with every single player. Yes, I get close to them. And, you know, when I've come in the summer, my assistant manager had to say to the lad, you've got to call Gaffer now, not Sav. Occasionally, they still call me Sav. And if they do it, they get a little small fine. And it's quite awkward for me because I've built that squad. Previous managers done an unbelievable job. Unfortunately, you know, I had an opportunity to leave in the summer. You know, but the board wanted to keep me, therefore giving me the head coach role at Mac. I've been offered jobs higher, which I've didn't want to go to because the project at Mac is great. And I had an opportunity recently for a lucrative sum to leave, but I couldn't leave that group in the position they're in. When I've, you know, I'm an honest individual, and when I've brought players to the football club to believe in me, to believe in the project, to go with us on a journey, if I was to leave them now for self-gain and self-worth, you know, I couldn't look in the mirror. So, you know, I've turned opportunities down, lucrative, offers to stay with this group and do what we set out to do, was to win promotion.
And how, you know, when you first had that call and, you know, maybe you're thinking about getting back involved with a new club, did you ever think it would, you know, get in your bloodstream like it has?
No. Listen, as a kid, I supported Wrexham and I used to go, you know, used to spend, I can't remember how much it was then, but 30p on the bus, 3-mile journey to the racecourse with my mates, stand on the cop, and, you know, and really get emotional about Wrexham, look at the results, you know, used to collect the Panini stickers, you know, have scrapbooks, Match and Shoot magazine. Listen, I've been through it all and really passionate. And when you move around as a footballer, you don't really support a football club anymore. Mm. But with Rob buying the football club and getting me involved, you know, it's in your blood now, as you say. And now you're a head coach of a group. And I never really thought that on a Saturday or a Tuesday, or whenever you play, that a win means more now to me than it did any Premier League win I ever had. And people might say, you're only saying that because it's now. But when you win as a team, yeah, you think about you individually. How did I do? Will I play next week? But as a manager of a group and a club and a fan base who have been through it, it's on you. So when that whistle goes and you've got 3 points and you see the celebrations of the fans, you see what it means to the staff behind the scenes who are imperative to me being successful. You see the lads in the dressing room. And one thing I've said to this group is, because we've been used to winning, I've been in the dressing room after games when they've won and it's just like another win. But now I make sure that when we win, you know, we turn the music up, they celebrate, they enjoy it, because you can't take wins for granted. So when opposition beat us, you know, the music's blaring, they're banging the walls, you know, obviously the full time's mentioned, but we're not. Again, it's a narrative which is unfair. We're two mornings a week instead of two nights a week, the same amount of hours as everybody else. And the amount of times I've said that to people, it just seems to not register. So again, they enjoy wins. We're humble in defeat, and that's one thing I make sure that if when we do get big like Tamworth, you're humble. You know, we try and leave the changing rooms as we found them. And so again, I just take my education at Manchester United with Eric Harrison and try and you know, put that on our group, and they're embracing it. And the biggest thing for me as a head coach or as a football club is your recruitment, and we've recruited unbelievably well this year, and that's thanks to the board. That's thanks to everybody who have enabled us to do this. So, yeah, we're in a good position, but we know Saturday's going to be tough, and it's a competition that you can get to Wembley in. We nearly done it last year, but I'm just going to give the lads an opportunity who you know, have been coming every week, and there'd be a similar team to like Ashton, a home, and, you know, there'll be a few on the bench who are ready to come on if needed.
And you've touched upon it already that, you know, we all know that a football club's more than just the first team. It's more than just the stadium, more than just the people that are involved in the first team. It's everybody, isn't it? The people running the bar, the people cleaning the toilets. It's fair to say that, you know, everybody, the youth, the ladies, all the other sides of the clubs are thriving too, because there is that spirit that goes all the way through the club.
It's incredible. Volunteers, you know, it's everything. And that's why I say to the group, the lads, listen, everybody looks up to you because you're the ones on a Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, everybody comes to watch. But without, you know, without the academy, without the volunteers, without the BTEC programme, without the gym, without the bar, everything enables you to perform at the highest level, you know. And when we win for everybody, you know, the fans. You know, you're seeing our attendance is over 3,000 once again. And again, I think sometimes, you know, people subconsciously turn up at theleasing.com and think we're going to win. And I think that's one thing which I've instilled into my players, is that over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, when we've slipped up, it's when you turn up, fans, players, probably myself as well, thinking all we got to do is turn up to win today because we've got the better players. But I think we've lost 12 games over the course of 3 years at home when that was probably in our thoughts subconsciously. So I've made sure this year that they're the games we pinpoint. I think the Worksops, the Hebbins, you know, the teams at the top, they take care of themselves, you know. But when you turn up against teams where subconsciously you think all we got to do is turn up to win, that's where we've come unstuck. So these are the games, you know, the Mickle over away or Blyth Barnes at home, there we have to turn up. And I say one thing to this group, and I play videos from team talks from managers last year when they beat us. And there was one specific team talk which I played recently, and the manager of the opposition deservedly won the game, said, you know, we outfought, we outrun, we worked harder. And I split them that, and I said, one thing with my team is, we can get beat, of course. We can get beat from complacency, individual errors. But one thing a group of mine never gets beat is from being outworked. To that point where, you know, we're averaging over 100K a game, players. The high intensity's gone up. The number of sprints have gone up. And if we do that, I don't think anybody can beat us. I really don't. And when we drew against Hyde and Ilkeston, on the Hyde occasion, it was the lowest distance covered and the lowest number of sprints. Yes, we have all the ball, but when we went to Ilkeston, you know, it was we ran the most, but our high intensity was low. So again, there's reasons why in the two draws we've had in the league is because, you know, we didn't outrun the opposition because we had a lot of the ball. So from a team of ours to run as much as they do and sprint as much as they do with the ball is a credit to them. And it's the players that deserve all the credit, and my management staff. You know, we've made decisions together, and, you know, I'm the head of it, but John McMahon and Peter Band, there's been occasions in games when we should do this and we do it, you know. So it's, and they should take a lot of credit. You know, it's not just me saying, let's do this, because I can see it. They can see things quicker than me sometimes. And It's like when we went to Whitby away, we changed after 20 minutes and John McMahon said we should go to this. We went to it, we scored straight away. Again, so everybody's part of it. It's not me, it's the team.
And I was going to ask, actually, because you watch a lot of football for your job, as you say, watching the boys. But now you're head coach. Do you watch football differently?
No, I watch football because I love watching football, whatever game. You know, my wife will tell people that every time there's, like, I'm missing football now because, listen, I know England played Greece tonight, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there's been nothing on. And I've been searching around for football, but there's nothing on. So I've been watching games of opposition we'll be playing on the White Scout. So again, you know, I'm relentless in what I do. I've been very fortunate in my career to, as a pundit, to sit down with Glenn Hoddle, to Rio Ferdinand, to Owen Hargreaves, with, you know, Sean Dyche, with managers, and I write things down. I've always loved formations and systems. And now I'm able to implement that with our first team. But I did it with Macclesfield under 16s, under 13s. And when we were under 16s, we went a season unbeaten. And a group of young lads who had been put together, released from academies, who had a point to prove, we were beating Liverpool Academy, Leeds Academy, with a group of lads who wanted to prove a point wrong. So again, I've managed before from under 13 to under 16 level, but this is the first opportunity I've had to manage in senior football, and I don't take anything for granted. I look at every single aspect of the opposition. I don't concentrate on the opposition too much in the dressing room because it's about us. And I just say to the lads, listen, look who's sitting next to you. You know, would I love to be in this dressing room now? You look across from you. You know, would you like to be in the dressing room with that person? Look next to you. And you look around our dressing room on a match day, you know, the lads who aren't in the squad. And it's like, wow. Yeah. And to the point that if I got a job hypothetically in the National League, I would take that group with me because I believe in that group. And I think that's how good this group is. Listen, we might get beat on Saturday, of course, and we'll wish Curzon and all the best. We might get beat against Mickleover. But that doesn't stop me believing that this group we've built is much more than capable of playing in the National League.
And I know promotion is a key target, but FA Trophy, two times winners, Macclesfield Town, it means a lot for people that have been involved with the club or the area for a long, long time. Could you make it to Wembley?
Could we make it to Wembley? Yes, of course we can. Like, listen, we were a step away last season from it. Of course we could, but we know it's going to be tough. Right now, if you offered me a win against Mickleover and a win against Blyth Spartans and go out the trophy on Saturday to Curzon, would I take that? 100% I would. That's the goal. If you offered me to win all three, of course, that would be the perfect. But, you know, when people see the team and amount of changes we've made, people think, well, are they taking that seriously? Yes, we are, because the team we put out, we believe, can win the game. Will it win the game? Only, you know, time will tell on quarter to five or 5 o'clock on Saturday. But one thing I won't be doing, and the one when I watch managers and when I watch, you know, after the defeat, I'm not going to, you know, there'll be reasons why you lose the game, and I'll explain why we've lost it. And if we lose on Saturday with a team apart, it won't be because, oh, I've rested certain players. It will be because something fundamentally or tactically or an individual error, something happened. But I'll explain that. But I'll never, ever, you know, throw my players under the bus, you know, because it's a collective. We win and we lose together. That's me, the staff, the volunteers, the fans. And we've got this, you know, this fuel which everybody... Listen, everybody will be looking Saturday because I think it's the game of the round. Everybody will be looking to think, a lot of people will be thinking, I hope Mac lose. And again, if we do, Mickleover away, a lot of people will be looking and think, I hope Mac lose. But the players know this and the players are right behind everything we're doing. And people on social media will look at training footage, look at what's a good session, what's a good coach. Well, I think noise coming out of a session, laughter, energy, togetherness, spirit. And if you're looking at our social media, that's what's happening. I think that's one of the differences why I believe that this group, you know, can do break records this season. And I know a lot of people will want us to fail. I know that, and I know that that is a fact.
But I think if anybody's listened to this interview, they'd know that you're full of desire, you're full of energy, and things are going well. Robbie Savage, always a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Football Show. We could talk forever, but I think you've got some things to prepare for. Thanks for joining us. Good luck.
Pleasure.
Speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Well, it is that time of the week then to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. A little welcome back once again to the Non-League Football Show. Editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Bagpod. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you, Tim. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very non-leaguey this week because, well, it's another one of those weeks where you're juggling cup competitions. FA Vars was the focus last week for us all, and the tie certainly disappointed. There were plenty of cup sets there. Last week's guest, Spelthorne Sports, now through in three rounds of the competition this season, but they've only had 3-1 all draws. But they are, of course, the penalty kings, as Miles Hook, their manager, told us last week. So it's just one of those competitions that has stories coming out of, well, every orifice, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's always something. There's always something in the Vars to talk about and to pique the interest. And you know, you've got Step Six sides going. You know, sort of looking through the results, and you think Sutton United. Obviously, it's Sutton United, Birmingham in their Step Six side, and they're having a great run. They're away to Winsford United in the next round, aren't they? But yeah, there was we always talk about how kind of the competition is open, and you know, there are often kind of favourites. You know, quite how they, people come to decide that is, you know, hard to know. I think, you know, last year Farnham Town were the favourites, weren't they? And they kind of went out not early on, but they didn't kind of weren't sort of getting down to the kind of the crunch time, really. So it is such an open competition, and that's kind of what makes it so special and enjoyable. And you know, look at Romford last year, who had this dream run beyond their wildest dreams, got to the finals against Great Wakering and were triumphant on the day. And there's obviously been a lot of changes there in the summer with Dan Spinks, and some of the players went over to Saffron Walden Town, didn't they? But the their defence of their trophy began last week against Takeley, and that's them. They're out of it already. Mm-hmm. So it kind of shows the, you know, kind of that it is anything on the day what happens. And I know sort of Romford have kind of been hoping that we had a piece in the paper a couple of weeks ago of Chris Newby, the manager, who obviously won the was playing for them from at Wembley, and lifted the Vars as captain. But and he was kind of hoping that they maybe had to have, you know, some sort of run as well. And that obviously hasn't been the case. They went out 3-2 last week, and Great Wakering, who got to the final, they went out on penalties to Great Yarmouth. So that's kind of the beauty of the competition, is that you never quite know where these winners are gonna fully come from. And we're getting down to that sort of stage now where it is, you know, do you start kind of thinking about it, start thinking, you know, can we be the ones to get there? You know, there's still 64 teams in there, but you're getting to that last 32, and it's kind of game on. So yeah, really interesting competition, and as you say, there's always going to be lots of fascinating stories to come out of it.
Yeah, always lots of stories, and I think the first weekend of December we hit round three there of the FA Vars. You say plenty of we'll address some of those fixtures nearer the time. This weekend though, it's the FA Trophy. This competition now reaches round two, and indeed step two come in. National North, National South teams in among the, 32 survivors of the competition so far. And again, fascinating ties to come this weekend. Chesham United, Chippenham Town was one that jumped out for me. Brentwood Town, who we had previously on the show this season, the trip, big trip to Hereford. There's going to be plenty of cup sets amongst all of these games as well. And, you know, the National League sides aren't quite in it yet, but could one of these sides make it all the way to Wembley?
Well, you know, a few years ago, you kind of thought probably not, but we've seen in recent years, as we often say, our teams have these really good runs. You know, there was obviously Concord getting to the final and all that sort of COVID. Hornchurch got there. You know, Hailsown had a great run that year that Concord got there as well. I feel like Concord maybe played Royston in the quarterfinals as well, you know. So that was, Concord played Royston in the quarterfinals. So that kind of shows, that if you get it right on the day, you can get there. And everything is on the day now, obviously, with going to penalties and all that. So it's again, really intriguing competition. There's some really interesting games this weekend. Actually, kind of almost too many to talk about, really, because of the way it has been, as you say. And there, you know, you've got Felixstowe, Walton United. I spoke to the manager, Stuart Bordley, the other week, absolutely flying in the Isthmian North. Not top, but they're right up there. And I don't think they've dropped a point at home all season. But they're on the road to Boreham Wood, and he was sort of saying, you know, how excited they all are for that. That occasion, you know, a chance to go and test themselves against a side that were in step one last year, and you know, year before that were knocking on the door of the Football League. You've got Hadley at step four going well as well. They're hosting a big name in AFC Telford United, and what a big day that'll be for them. Big interesting ties all over the place, really. And you know, you've got Kidderminster Hale's own manager Russ Penn going back to a club that means so much to him at Kidderminster, taking his side back there. I think Kerr's National against Macclesfield. Obviously, you ever know about Macclesfield? Mm-hmm. Great history in the competition as Macclesfield Town, and having a brilliant season. Now, obviously, powered, you know, well backed, of course, but they're 13 points clear, or maybe even more than that now, at the top of the Northern Prem. They're going to Kerr's National, going great guns themselves in the National League North. So, again, like the Vars, so many brilliant sort of stories to come out of this competition, and there'll be plenty more this weekend for sure.
Yeah, so we've got all these ties in the FA Trophy, of course, but and surely the game of the weekend, they're not yet involved in the FA Trophy, the top tier, the National League boys. We've got a magical league fixture already at this time of the season. Top of the table in inform York City, travelling to second place Forest Green Rovers, who could overtake them, I think, with a win. It's the 5:30 p.m. Saturday TV game. You'll have plenty of results to be compiled across all the leagues and the trophy, but you're surely going to be keeping a sneaky eye on this one.
Well, definitely, that'll be the one that we were in the back of our mind when we're coming to draw the front page, and you're getting all these brilliant pictures in from the other games, and be like, yeah, we just got to see what happens at Forest Green with York, because that's going to be we are sort of kind of not at the halfway point of the season, and it is still huge amounts of football to play, but it does have that sort of feel of a big one, biggie early on. York started brilliantly this year, haven't they? It's funny, kind of like Ryan McCollum about it a little bit this week. You sort of look back to that defeat they had last season against Altrincham, and they lost 6-1, and you know, you kind of sort of see the fallout from that, and you know, fast forward on now and how well they're going. You know, so I just signed Jeff King this week, who knows his way around this division, has obviously won it with Chesterfield, so you know, another really impressive signing that they're bringing in, and it just seems to all be kind of going right for them. They had a massive crowd last week when they beat Hartlepool 5-3, and real tough trip down to Forest Green. Obviously, you know, relegated out of the Football League last season, and you always look at kind of what the hangover of that is. You know, they're not. We've seen clubs come so often come down in kind of crisis. They fall into non-league, don't they? And they've often been in free fall for a period of time. That wasn't really the case kind of with the two that came down last year, with Forest Green and Sutton. And you know, Sutton are mid-table at the moment, not all that far off the playoffs, but Forest Green have obviously recruited really well. Steve Cotchell, you know, someone that again knows his way around this division from his days at Cheltenham and kind of then what he's gone on and done in the Football League, and made some really good signings in that summer, and I'm sure he'll be really looking forward to putting his side out against York, who, you know, not an unknown at the start of the season, but they won. You sort of saying, well, you know, could they push for the playoffs? Are they going to be in that conversation? You sort of felt they had a good chance to because of their sort of summer recruitment, but there was kind of, you know, Ollie Pearce stepping up from National League South. How would he go? And a few other lads that Adam Hinchwood brought up from Worthing as well. But they've really gone from, can they get in the playoffs? So, you know, we're talking about them as title contenders now. Mm-hmm. You know, Barnet obviously going to want to have a lot to say about that. They're only a few points back. Gateshead are only a few points back as well. You know, even look at Oldham, who are they're in fifth, but they're only 7 points behind York as we speak now. Rochdale have had a great start to this season. So it is really, you know, Yeovil up there as well, sort of making up those playoffs. So it really is kind of an interesting sort of promotion race at this stage, and certainly we're not getting down into sort of three, four horse races yet, because there's so much football to be played. But it's not, you know, games that won't define the season right now, but they will have that real, you know, there'll be a real sort of kick-on effect if whoever wins this one of kind of where they can sort of, you know, propel them into this Christmas period that's going to be on the horizon very soon. So yeah, really, really fascinating game, and kind of one of those where I'm a bit annoyed to be in the office kind of keeping an eye on it and all that. You know, it's one that I'd sort of love to be at and really really taking it in. So but we will have more than half an eye on what's going on there and hoping there's a result actually for the sake of the front page.
Well, yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's the psychology of the result more than anything, isn't it? For the club that wins, the club that loses, or if it's a draw, because if it then, as you say, no one's running away with it yet. It's still very, very open, and you know, anyone from, well, I'd say Stevenage, but we know how the National League works. It could be anyone from 24, really, couldn't it? But it's going to be. Saturday evening could be very different for lots of people involved in football, depending how this one ends up at 90 plus minutes.
Yeah, definitely. And it kind of reminds me of, I can't remember what stage of the season it was at, but when Lincoln went there in the season that they won the title, they went to Forest Green and they kind of had this, you know, it's quite a way out from memory. I'm sure someone will probably come in and correct me. It was quite, you know, there's sort of, I think it was pre-sort of Lincoln's FA Cup run, I'm sure, but again, could be wrong, just going off the sort of the top of my head. But I remember them getting kind of a late goal there, and I think Sean Raggett was on that. I think maybe he got it, and he was on the sort of TV afterwards and sort of said, you know, we're kind of here to, you know, we show we're meaning business by this. And sometimes these results, they can sort of flood a side of confidence even more than they've already got, and then everyone starts feeling, well, actually, you know, if you all go down there and win that, then that will, you know, that it'll feel like more than 3 points. The fans will be going home, you know, thinking, hold on, we're right in this. If they weren't after, they're not already kind of thinking that. So it could be as you say, when that final whistle goes, it won't just be that result and that 3 points. It will have kind of it will send you know, everyone be looking and seeing what's happening there and kind of what it is. So 0-0 draw now, probably, after you said all that.
There we go, yeah, 0-0. And, of course, when you're looking out for results, we're all looking out for the results now, and, you know, we're compiling it in. North West County's result, the Atherton, Laburnum Rovers, is that going to be a particular note? Our friends at Non-League HQ have come up with a fascinating stat this week. Are you aware of it, Matt?
Well, I'm hoping you can fill me in. But you told me, this is to make them safe.
It is to make them safe. Yeah, they only drew on Tuesday, but if on Saturday they could become the first club in steps 1-6 to assure themselves of not finishing bottom of their division. You know, failing, you know, some other you know thing that were yeah. An away win at Garstang, or indeed a defeat for fellow title challengers Skelmersdale, would be enough to ensure that Atherton, Laburnum Rovers will not finish bottom in their division this season. I mean, thanks as ever to the wonderful work of the Non-League HQ for that fascinating stat. But it's hopefully fans of Atherton, Laburnum Rovers will sleep soundly this weekend.
Well, they will be able to, you know, as I say, great stat from the guys there, and they will be able to sing "We Are Staying Up," aren't they? You know, there'll be,
we need that audio sent to us, don't we, yeah, on Saturday evening.
But, you know, managers often at paint, you know, it's all about just survival first and staying up first, so there you go. That'll be something for sure, and nice little thing if they can do it, but... say Garstang probably thinking, well, let's not make it against us, but it will be it's always the first target, as they say, isn't it? Make sure you don't go down.
Yeah, and we do of course celebrate clubs on the up, which is great, but there's always clubs on the brink, unfortunately. This week we saw, well, a heartfelt plea from the Northern League's West allotment, Celtic, for help. Chairman David Dodds sent out an open letter explaining that they asked for a 2-week suspension from the league while they consider their options, basically. They've lost their main sponsor this season that's been with them for a number of years. They've seen their rent triple. There's no increase on the crowds, despite, I think, a fifth place finish last term, and various fan initiatives. They're trying to get people through the gate. They basically need help, both in terms of bodies, volunteers, as we talk about every week, and finances, or we're going to lose another club. And one, well, just 4 years short of its centenary. It, again, brings home how difficult it is to run a football club.
Yeah, definitely. We kind of talk about this every week, about the sort of difficulties. And as you say, the club have been saying they've been trying to do so much stuff, and that shows that, really promote the club. And I think they've sort of been putting sort of boards outside on the roadside as well, haven't they, to kind of sort of really kind of get people in. And it is so hard to get people through the gate. And especially when sponsors are obviously they've got their own challenges as well. And if they have to sort of withdraw their support, it can leave huge holes, and it's not easy just to go out and replace that. And I guess it just shows that this sort of precarious nature of non-league football, and it is easy to forget that sometimes when we're out watching and enjoying games. You forget how much has gone into it, and for you to be able to be there and to have the lights on and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, hopefully, this appeal can kind of bring some good news. And if they kind of have this sort of pause for breath, and I think these are in the business of keeping clubs going, aren't they? So they're not going to, everyone wants to see clubs continue. And sometimes if they need a little break, then it might be the answer if it can get them in there. I also saw that they've been saying that other clubs have already been sort of getting into their players
around,
as well.
Aren't they?
So it sort of shows that, there's that feeling on the sort of the non-league football family, and that is definitely a thing and definitely rings true. And the vast majority of stuff I've kind of seen is positive, but then you sort of see that the clubs are sort of already making their move, and that sort of shows how ruthless it is, and kind of a not so nice side of non-league football as well.
Yeah, it's a tough world, and it's not always just down to the finances as well. I think he was suggesting that they're one of the smallest budget clubs there, but you've got other clubs. There's always a whole host of barriers, throttles, issues that can cripple a club. Stourbridge this week going public with issues with the Dudley Council over lease obligations and a boundary repair. The works, apparently the council's obligation under the lease, still not done, and that means that the club have had to reduce a capacity at the ground to just over 2,000 people on safety grounds, and as a result that means that the big local derby at the end of the month is going to have fewer in attendance, and that's going to be a massive game as well, because looking at their Stourbridge, you're currently fourth in the table, and local visitors Houseau in Town second in the table. Again, there's a multitude, we discussed this last week, that the multitude of red tape, it's there for a reason, we know that, but sometimes the practicalities of getting things over the line, people just find themselves hitting their head against the wall.
Yeah, and that's, as you say, how frustrating for everybody there. And the number 9 derby is such a big one in the non-league calendar, isn't it? For it kind of is a real rivalry. You can see the crowds over the last few seasons since we're back in the same league, and it's a huge day, and a real shame that not as many people as things stand will be able to get in there and see it. So hopefully maybe something can kind of come along. But going to get shots, these are all the things we kind of sort of forget. And I think sometimes people turn up at places and kind of have a little whinge up and have a moan about things. But sometimes things are out of club's control, and they rely on so many other things to kind of fall into place. And hopefully they can, maybe there can be some sort of resolution as quickly as possible to get that sorted.
Yeah, and as well as all the chaos on the admin side of the things with clubs, we have the managerial merry-go-round is always busy, mainly busy on the lower part of the pyramid this week. What have we got? We've got Alva Church have parted with Jimmy Gray. Matt Barnes has resigned at Norwich Victoria. David Hussey's departed at Maldon and Tiptree. Elsewhere, club legend Ryan Salter is going to be the new man at Brighton and Sea Region. He's replacing Brett Munyarda. And again, check out social media. Expressed his own disapproval on social media of the club statement about his release. But he's since popped up, Brett Munyarda, to fill that vacancy that's appeared at Maldon and Tiptree. It's the merry-go-round, because we also see a quick fill Staining Town, where Alex Gavin has stepped down and is replaced by his former assistant, Mike Baker. He stepped up into the managerial role. So fairly quiet, but it just shows how as soon as there's a vacancy, someone's, well, probably 10 people are lining up to fill it and get back on that ride and see where they can take their new club.
I was always going to go break out my own personal rendition and sort of go all Lion King on you there, and start singing The Circle of Life, because that's I didn't have quite the courage to do it. Maybe I'll build up to it, it is The Circle of Life, and this is what happens in non-league. If someone goes from somewhere, someone's misfortune is someone else's opportunity, and there's always there's more managers out there than there are jobs, it seems. So. Yeah, but it just doesn't. It's kind of getting to that stage now. We're just before Christmas. We're just thinking, oh, I feel like let's make the change now and roll into that Christmas period, because it can, you don't want to be a losing team around that time of year where the crowd's often so much bigger and that the sort of people will be looking out to go out, get a good game of football, and they're going to be naturally attracted to teams that are going well. So it's seen that crucial period now, and some teams obviously not involved in the trophy in the league this week, so the trophy, so it gives them a bit of time to make some decisions. And it never stops; it will always spin. And I think as we'll talk as we go through the season, it goes right to the end now, doesn't it? As well, it doesn't even sort of stop in March, where everyone settles in and says, right, let's go with what we've got. It kind of even changes in April these days. So. Yeah, there's always something going on.
I think I need to speak to one of our stats fans as well to have a look to see who appears most throughout the series of mentions in the managerial merry-go-round.
It'll be interesting, the correlation of where they are in the table as well.
Anyone who want to help with that, give us a shout. In recent weeks, one thing that we have had a bit of interaction with, we've been celebrating just why non-league is great value and why non-league games have more twists and turns than an Olympic luge run. So it was great to have many listeners sending me the details of the game between Sunderland West End and Yarm and Eaglescliffe. And I know it's been featured by a number of mainstream media as well now, but 5-6 it ended up. The scoring went, I think I've got this right, 0-1, 1-all, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1 on 69 minutes, then 4-2, 5-2, and then 90 minutes, it's 5-2. And then suddenly Yarm and Eaglescliffe made full use of the added time, adding four goals for the win. So if you left early, you were scuppered there. You had no idea what the result was. Surely, though, that there must be souvenir T-shirts already being made for the official attendance of 105.
Well, as you say, it's the people that left early that I want to hear from. Because this is why you don't leave football early. Right. This is why you don't, it's so tempting, we're all kind of, sometimes on a Tuesday night and it's a bit cold. I'm only sort of kind of going to watch and thinking, ooh, should I just start getting to that car and make a head start, getting out of the car park? But this way, you can't do it. You can't do it, Tim. Because these are the games that, they just never come along. You imagine being at that game, you probably wouldn't even look to see what the final score was until a couple of days later. And then you probably think it was a misprint and start writing an email into the non-league paper to moan about the results or something. That they got it wrong. But, that does, that just kind of sum up what can happen, the momentum. There was another game a couple of years ago that sort of went a bit crazy like that, wasn't it? I can't remember where it was now, but yeah, it does. The show, it's never over until it's over, and what an epic finish! But don't leave early.
Don't leave early. The value you get for non-league. I admit, I went to the dark side last weekend, and I was watching an EFL game, and there were people that didn't come back after half time. I think they got lost in the bar, but.
They're just going for the Instagram, you see these days.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Just go take pictures, show they were there,
yeah,
and then check in, put on their Facebook where they're doing, and then they can just off they go.
Yeah. I have to say,
it's not right.
I sort of enjoyed the experience, but you know, I'm too far away from the action. I can't have a bit of banter, and it's just not the same. Non-league for me all the way through. Really, talking about non-league all the way through. One other celebration in non-league this week: Ross Allen, Guernsey FC, netted his 300th goal for the club in their 2-1 win over Hanworth Villa in the Isthmian South Central. And that's an amazing stat in any form. But the fact is that he scored those in only 337 games. I mean, that's astounding.
Well, this is it. He had kind of a big break, didn't he, in the middle, where he went out to New Zealand and played. I think it was New Zealand. He went out to and played out there for a bit. And I always remember talking to Tony Vance, Guernsey manager, when they were kind of first coming into the pyramid. I think they'd been in the UEFA Regions Cup, and they were they were this whole kind of thing. He mentioned, like, Ross, we've got this lad called Ross Allen, who's kind of, he scores all these last sort of star players, and he scores all these goals, and right from the beginning he's just been whacking them in for them ever since the club came into the National League system. And he would have even more if he hadn't had this kind of break and gone away, but and played his football elsewhere. But incredible goal scorer for them, and kind of what he's done over the years has been so much part of their kind of success. I know they kind of the early promotions that they got have kind of stopped the step four, and they've kind of been in different transitions of players, but this club was kind of set up to give more and more opportunities for young footballers in there on the island. That's obviously, we've sort of seen that with players that have moved on. Obviously, Alex Scott now at Bournemouth, he was kind of he's almost like the poster boy for kind of what the club was about. He was watching on the terraces when they played their first game and first games in that first seasons, and then he comes on, plays for the first team, and now he's propelled on in his own career and having an amazing career. But players like Ross Allen, who has been kind of, let's say, banging the goals in for such a long time, have been a big part of it as well. And incredible. I'm sure he scored over 50 goals in that first season. I can't quite remember.
Well, I was looking at some of the stats. My playing career cut very very short early on with injury. I remember two or three games really well, but he had 28 games where he scored a hat-trick or better. I think 44 braces and one six-goal haul. I mean, even with a good memory, you'd struggle to remember all of those games that you had great, fantastic games in.
Well, this is it. And, I'm sure he can remember every single sort of goal. He's like most strikers. They all seem to know that. They seem very, very good on their stats, aren't they? But, it's a remarkable record. And he's been doing it for so long as well, and then I think you can't remember when he sort of kind of came back and started playing, but in this sort of second spell, so to speak. But just straight from the off, whacking him in, and Tony Vance was very very pleased to have him, want to kind of keep him going as long as possible.
Yeah, not a bad option to have to put down on your team sheet. Talking of which, FA Trophy reports this weekend, FA Vars draw reaction, I guess, league action. And have you actually got any room for any more in this weekend's paper?
Not really. It is a bit of a tight squeeze. There's plenty in there other than all the matches, as you say. We've got a piece coming in on Wroxham, and they're Welcome to Wroxham. Documentary behind the scenes series that they kind of I think the premiere's on Saturday, and playing on the whole Welcome to Wrexham and kind of how they're only one vowel away from one vowel away from Hollywood glory possibly. So but there's a nice sort of behind the scenes YouTube series that they're putting out, so we've checked in with them. I've caught up with Andy Priest as well. We're talking about longevity. If all goes well and their game against Marie and the trophy plays on Saturday, I think they've got a county cup game on Tuesday night. If that if those games do get played, there's not a sudden downpours or anything like that, next Saturday he'll reach 1,000 games in management. When they play Chester, it'll be his 1,000th game in management. There's been, I think, 135 or so as assistant to Jamie Vermiglio, but he took his first kind of job as player manager back in 1999 at Bury, and sort of joking with him that he's probably got enough stories of kind of the issues that he's been involved in, all the things that he's seen and done in management, enough material for probably two books. You know, he's been at Norwich in difficult times, Bury in difficult times, and you know, kind of he's remembering his first game as away at Gillingham back in 99, and I think they lost one, Bury lost 1-0, and kind of to his 1,000th game, and whatever happens, it'll start that day top of the league of the National League North, and because obviously they've got the trophy this week, so no league games before then. So yeah, really, you know, it kind of just shows that, like, yeah, think of all those team talks, all those games, you know, but it's so much more around it. It's not just turning up and the referee blowing the whistle. It's kind of all that preparation that goes in, you know, all that kind of you know, hours and hours of prep and, yeah, stress and everything that kind of goes into it. So yeah, really interesting chat with Andy Priest. We've kind of caught up with AFC Sudbury this week, caught up with Didcot. Yeah, it's plenty going in there. Kettering as well, there for the FA Cup run. Talking of goal scorers, David Kolodinski, who's been whacking them in for years as well. He's at Rugby Borough now, and they're making a little Vars run. So plenty in this week's paper for sure, as well as all the usual league stuff as well.
And we don't even know what's on the front page yet. Amazing stuff. I look forward to reading all about all of that, Matt. Particularly Mr. Priest is, again, one of non-league's gentlemen. Not fanfared enough, I don't think.
Such a nice bloke, such a top bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah, always happy to have a chat, and you know, he's one of those that kind of takes interest in you know, ask how your family are and all that kind of thing. It's just small, you know, it's only a tiny thing, but you know, it just sort of shows his class. He's dealt with a lot over the years, and really, you know, you're kind of looking at that and thinking, you know, you sort of, when you see that, you sort of really want people like that to have success and do really well, which they obviously are. And I think the interesting thing about Choy is he loses his top scorer every year. I think they lost their top three scorers last summer, so every year he's having to replace, but still they're right up there and going great guns. So all credit to Andy, and I hope they can keep that up. And you know, he's only 57, I think he said. So he's still got quite a few games left.
I like
what
you said. Games
left,
only, yeah. Yeah, I like.
Only 57. Yeah. Well, I think he's young. He's young these days. He's young these days. Although he did say, well, you know, the only thing is if the results go bad over the next coming weeks, so this might, you know, this might be the thousand, might be kind of, you know, more of my last few. So but he's obviously that was tongue in cheek. But just a sort of, you know, there's lots of managers who, you know, kind of get to these milestones, and you know, it is incredible. I was talking to as part of the Didcot piece, I was talking to Jamie Heapy earlier as well, and I think he played 950 odd times as a player for Didcot. I think that was the stat I saw, and yeah, I think, oh dear, that's a lot of that's a lot of times you have to lace up your boots and kind of get out there onto the pitch. And you know, we see it as the stat down on the paper, but you saw everything else that kind of goes into it is you know, that we don't ever see, and we probably all, you know, take for granted. And all credit to them.
It's 959 times, so that, you know, probably half of those then at Didcot. There's people that go through the rest of their life that will probably never go to their office 400 times because of the way the world works now. It's just an amazing stat, the number of appearances people can make. Anyway, I look forward to reading all about it in the non-league paper on Sunday, Matt. Thanks as ever. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim.
And then that is it for this week. But it isn't, of course, because there's always breaking news. And breaking news made just before we finally put this episode to bed, made public by Tendring District Council surrounding FC Clacton. A statement put out, FC Clacton has been given notice to vacate the Rush Green Bowl by the end of the football season. The club, which has been at Tendring District Council-owned ground since 1987, failed to agree on a new lease and pay rent arrears and impacting taxpayers. The notice issued today, Thursday the 14th of November, will only affect senior teams using the facility post-season. Youth teams, which rent other pitches on a per-game basis, will not be impacted.
A rebuttal was put out by Clacton chairman Stephen Andrews and suggests very much that the story isn't as straightforward as the council have made out. But for a community interest company-run club, the shadow of extensive legal bills make this another situation that doesn't look good for the fans of football. We will try to find out more and update you as the story progresses. Don't forget, you can get involved on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, or also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. Enjoy your football. And goodbye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.